In 49 other states, football is just a game. But this is Wisconsin.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
Wisconsin fans demand the best. The best analysis. The best interviews. The best coverage. And no one delivers like the Bill Michaels Huddle.
Welcome, and we are broadcasting live at the historic Brat Shop. We're here in Kenosha, second hour, hour number two of the Bill Michaels Huddle, brought to you by good friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Mike Clemens alongside from XM Sirius, and also our good friends from our good friend John Dodd as well from Dodds on Sports can swing by and chat with us. Hopefully you can chat with us as well if you want to come down and say howdy. You got the Bears getting ready. Got some Bears fans down here. I'm noticing the Bears jacket over there. There's some people that wore the Bears gear. They're proudly wearing it again. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Hey, be proud of it. I think you're going to be done this weekend, but that's okay.
Sure. You've got 3 days to enjoy it. Yeah.
I'm kidding. The Bears put it together with a really solid defense. They got a little bit ahead of themselves with what Matt Nagy has been able to instill down there. They got Khalil Mack, and that was the shot of adrenaline that team needed. And it told everybody, hey, this thing's coming together. They get to Danny Trevathan, who's kind of been banked up since they picked him up, and he hasn't been the impact player that they wanted, but nevertheless.
And they beat the Rams 15-9, but Trubisky threw three picks in that game. And since that game, Matt Nagy said, all right, look, you know, you got to buy in. We're going to be more disciplined about this. You can't take these 35-yard shots downfield, you know, with a guy that's in double coverage on the left-hand sideline. You can't. You got to stop doing that. You got a great arm. But you don't have enough going for you. And so he gave him plays to keep him in sync, crossing patterns if you got zone, if it's man-to-man, you know, take a guy who's going to do the check down. And by God, Trubisky got more discipline, and that's how he beat the Green Bay Packers. Didn't give them anything, did not give the ball to Aaron Rodgers, kept the chains moving, dominated the time of possession, and that could get them deep into the playoffs, John.
The scariest thing about having a young quarterback who runs is Trubisky getting hit by Harrison Smith and hurting his right shoulder. He was out for a couple of games during this year.
Right.
If you have a young quarterback, you worry about the knees, but it's the right shoulder, right elbow, and it's the right shoulder. I wonder, he hasn't been the same guy since.
Right, that's part of the deal then?
Well,
it was not throwing the deep ball.
It was Sunday Night Football, and I think it was Michelle Tafoya found out that it was a separation.
Yeah.
She was the only one to get him to say something about a separated shoulder, and everybody
Correct.
Went, wait, what?
Yeah.
Because for a while it was just like a little sprain, it was a little discomfort.
No,
a separated throwing shoulder? And that's when that all came out, and finally we figured out what was wrong with Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, when it comes to the right arm of a right-handed quarterback, you just want the injury to be the ankle, you want it to be anything but the knees and the shoulder.
Yeah, I was watching some tape of that Bears-Vikings game from the other day, too. And Nagy, man, and he's doing a great job with the running game, too. You know, it's student body left, and guys are getting out there, and they're knocking them over. And Bobby Massey and that group, I was impressed by the Bears' offensive line in the season opener up in Lambeau Field. Man, they, you know, not to mention what the defensive line was doing to the Packers' offensive line, but the Bears' offensive line and some of the command that they had in those plays. Very impressed on how much they improved from the previous season. So that's why they're the NFC North champs.
When you look at the rest of the NFC North, a lot of talk about what went wrong in Minnesota. Now, look, I had said all along I didn't think that Kirk Cousins was going to be the answer over there. And he's what now, 5-for-25 against teams that have a 500 or better record?
You like that.
I do love that. And I sat there and said, I told you so. Because that guy, he hasn't won more than 10 games. He's never won a playoff game. He's never been the leader that they wanted him to be. And the minute he got to town, he was putting patents on you like that shirts. You know, he was more worried about that than he was about coming in and being the leader and the quarterback that they needed him to be. How far away now with the jumble of mess that is in the NFC North, because the Lions are now scrambling. They got to figure things out. Matt Patricia was a train wreck in his first year. Packers, we know talent-wise right now, they're lacking, but with a good quarterback, you can always bounce back. But how big of a schism is the talent right now in the division?
What do you think?
Well, in Minnesota, the key was their offensive line. You have to have an offensive line. I remember learning Ron Wolf going to the drafts. He said there's two positions you need to have to be competitive: cornerbacks on defense and offensive line on offense. You could have a great quarterback, you could have a great running back, you could have great players. If you don't have those positions, you're not going to win. So that was the problem with Minnesota. Their defense and their linebackers were terrific, but their defensive line kind of got nicked up toward the end of the year. The Lions have some pretty good skilled positions, especially at wide receiver. Marvin Jones is a Packer killer. They have Kerryon Johnson, who looked like a very impressive player before he got hurt. And I watched that game, and I was just very pleased that the Packers actually lost that game. There was no moral victory in winning against the Lions last week.
I give Mike Zimmer credit as a leader, as a head coach, to get through the Everson Griffin saga. I mean, the Packers played the Vikings, and it was that week two at Lambeau Field, and the man was talking strange in the locker room. Well, you were in that locker room with me, that Vikings locker room. And within the next week or two, the man has a mental illness breakdown, and they have to haul him away. And this is, you know, your team leader. This is the guy that David Bakhtiari says, I love playing against this guy because he's one of the best in the league, and that's how I measure how good my game is. So they miss him for a few games, but, you know, somehow incorporate him back in. And he gets through all that and pulls the team tighter. And yet he ends up publicly calling out his new offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo, who's got a Super Bowl ring from the Eagles, about, we're running too many trick plays. That might have worked in Philadelphia, but we're running too many trick plays. We just got to get back to running the football, you know, and moving the chains. And within 2 weeks, he fires the guy midseason.
Oh, by the way, your offensive line stinks.
Well, that too. You know, and it was some of the injuries that they incurred as well.
When their coach died.
Yeah, and their offensive coach, line coach.
Their line coach passed away.
I mean, so there's.
Well, they were decimated by injuries too.
Yeah.
Again, this season.
I mean, so a tremendous amount of adversity, as they like to call it in the NFL, that he got through it. But I think they have raised some questions that, you know, when North Turner walks out on you, you know, and you go through four offensive coordinators in as many years, that's got to be confusing. And Zimmer's got to clean that up and figure it out. By the way, Bill, I know you'd love this question. What do you think about Zimmer just leaves Minnesota and takes the Bengals job because they love him in Cincinnati so much?
They do. I don't think he's leaving Minnesota, though.
He wouldn't do it.
He's got some unfinished business there.
Yeah, he's under contract, you know, and Ziggy Wolf has been good to give him that opportunity and all that. And yeah, it's right. I mean, that would be the Josh McDaniels kind of thing to do.
Correct.
A third round pick could seal the deal.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I like it. I'd get Zimmer out of here. Because you know why? Because Zimmer's been so good at scheming against the Packers.
Oh, just ask Aaron Rodgers.
I was just going to say, he schemed against Aaron Rodgers when he was with Cincinnati.
Right.
And we saw what happened down there when he had Dunlap and Simpson and those guys crashing the edges. He's been good against Aaron Rodgers since coming to Minnesota.
Yeah.
I thought they made a huge mistake in changing their quarterbacks. But, you know that defense is still formidable. It's not. Is the best defense in the division now in Chicago?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Sure. Yeah. The stats say so. Well, they had 27 interceptions as a team. This is ridiculous, off the charts.
One thing that they have is they have Roquan
Smith.
They have
who just flies.
He flies.
You know, God, when we were at Soldier Field, I think the world of Blake Martinez, who, you know, Bill had on his Monday night show, great guest and all that. And Blake Martinez is a workhorse. And gosh, he twisted that ankle against the Patriots, went in the tunnel, came back out in the fourth quarter. Saw him in the locker room. The thing, you know, was the size of a hoof in the locker room for the next 2 weeks, and he didn't miss a start and played through all that and led the team in tackles and all that. And yet, when you see Roquan Smith play the same position, the speed is 2X. It's twice as fast. It's like, oh, my gosh. To have that kind of speed working from the middle of the field and clean it up, that's a difference maker.
And the Packers take Burks in the third round, and that's what they want him to do. But what's the difference? One's a top 10 pick. Roquan Smith's a top 10 pick. Floyd's a top 10 pick. Khalil Mack is a top 10 pick. They have top 10 picks and speed.
Yeah, Burks, very impressive guy, great size.
But he got hurt.
Like, he's got like Cam Chancellor size. It hurts his shoulder in pregame warm-ups in the preseason, misses about a month. He comes back out there. They gave him plenty of snaps, and they didn't like what they saw. Mike Pettine was bringing in Eddie Pleasant off the street, a safety from the Texans, and having him play the inside linebacker snaps. And when I asked him about that, like, yeah, how come Eddie Pleasant's playing inside linebacker instead of, Oren Burks? You know, the big dude, 6'4". Well, that was our nickel and dime package. Yeah, well, then how come you had him filling up the A-gap and trying to stop running backs? You know, it's just Burks, obviously his performance dropped like he hit the rookie wall early this past season. So that's a disappointing third-round pick that they really were depending on helping them out.
If you want to chime in, you can. If you want to add a little bit to the conversation, if there's a favorite or a dark horse you have for the head coaching position for the Green Bay Packers, please feel free to give it to us. Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio alongside John Dodd from Dodds on Sports here as well. We are broadcasting live at the historic Brotstop down here in Kenosha. And if you want to be a part of their email list, go to Brotstop.com. That's Brotstop.com. We got more of the Bill Michaels Huddle brought to you by Bud Light coming up right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Bill Michaels Huddle brought to you by Bud Light. We are broadcasting live down here at the historic Brotstop, and we are glad you are hanging out with us tonight. Thanks so much, as always. We certainly appreciate it. And it's been a busy night down here, but that doesn't mean we're done by any stretch of the imagination. Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio alongside. Also right now we have John Dodd here as well from DoddsOnSports.com. You can check his stuff out there. Also talking a lot about the Green Bay Packers. Going to get into the rest of the NFL and playoff weekend coming up here in just a few. I wanted to go back. We talked so much about Aaron Rodgers, and we were talking about filling holes. And I was going to pose – we started a little bit on the show today, and I wanted to get into this here tonight, and I'll take it over tomorrow. But if you're going to say there's your top two or three of importance positions that need to be fixed and need to be fixed right now, they have to hit on, whether it's through the draft or free agency, what would it be? Mike, I'll start with you.
Offensive line for me.
That's – my number one is offensive line. My number two is defensive line.
Yeah.
My number one is outside linebacker, and my number two is outside linebacker. They need, and this is the draft to get it done. You couldn't do it the last two drafts. You can't really get players for a legitimate wage because you can't get those people are not pass rushing. You can't get via free agency. It's rare because they're all locked up and franchised and whatever. But this is the time. And this draft, you can get defensive linemen through round three. It's the best defensive line draft in 25 years. This is the year. Do it. Offensive line, day three, and in free agency. Offensive tackle.
You're saying that, but I wouldn't mind spending some money in free agency if there's a 4 or 5 year veteran tackle or guard that you can help out on your right side of your line. Or maybe even challenge Lane Taylor at the left guard position.
Yeah, this was the worst offensive line since 2005 when Adrian Clem and Whitaker were the turnstiles.
Will Whitaker. Michigan
was the turnstiles.
State. Big that, kid, friendly kid, played 1 year of NFL football for the Green Bay Packers and said, thank you, goodbye, and I'm done. And he quit.
That's when Brett Favre did not like Ted Thompson.
Right.
Because Ted Thompson took Mike Wall, Marco Rivera, Darren Sharper, got rid of him.
Ryan Longwell.
What Favre didn't understand is they were $22 million over the cap after that Minnesota playoff game, and they couldn't draft without getting rid of those guys. Yeah. So that's where old quarterbacks and general managers can be at cross purposes.
That's that game where the Vikings come up to Lambeau Field. They go up 17-0. But the next touchdown, Randy Moss, shines the south end zone, right? Flashes them, moons them. And Joe Buck, goes crazy on the game. And Brett took almost 45 minutes before he came down, and we were looking at each other. I was talking to Drew Smith then, you know, broadcaster from Fox 11 Green Bay. I said, I wonder if he's going to quit. We were really concerned he was going to quit right there. He was so frustrated with everything going on around him. I wonder if he was going to quit.
We were talking earlier about the needs and such, and defensively speaking, I'm with John. I think that an outside pass rusher is a necessity. A lot of questions about Clay Matthews. For whatever reason, people in this area are hanging on to him like grim death, as if he's going to suddenly come back and be the guy that everybody remembers going back 5-6 years ago. If he was a middle linebacker and said, I'll come back for less money, would you keep Clay Matthews?
Yeah, I'm part of the Matthews fan club.
Oh, yeah?
I like him. I still think he's the one guy that when the offense comes over the line of scrimmage, they point to him. They run away from him. They scheme for him. Is he making plays? Nowhere near. He did that he used to. He lasted 16 games this year. And the one game where he looked, I thought, really good, like the old Clay, was when Kyler Fackrell had that great game at Seattle and Russell Wilson would kind of veer from running away from Matthews to running toward Matthews and away from Fackrell. Mm-hmm. So if you got a great player that he could play with, I think he could be a lot better.
But so you're saying Clay was feeding Fackrell those sacks?
No, I think normally I've noticed over the past years, especially this year, that teams run away from Clay Matthews. So Fackrell started making an impact. So they were hesitating and running toward Matthews, and he made some plays. So the speed is gone. He's probably about 80% the player he used to be. But given his family history and his dad and his uncle played till they're 40 and their grandfather played till he was like 37, his career may be 60% over and not 90% over.
From a football standpoint, if you can hang on to Julius Peppers till he's 35, 36, I think you can hang on to Clay Matthews and still get, you know, 25, 30 important snaps.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is that per 25-30 snaps per game?
Right now they need him on that roster because Reggie Gilbert was a huge disappointment for me. I thought that guy would be have
he
some of the numbers.
Show up the way we
I
thought he would
I,
be.
And I kept on watching him, and I don't understand. And I try and look at this guy and say, well, is this assignment? Is he supposed to contain? Is he not supposed to get to the quarterback? But I didn't see him stat-wise either, just showing up, or he had a deflected pass here and there. Reggie Gilbert was a disappointment at that position. And then, of course, you know, they went through Vince Beagle and ended up cutting him and all that kind of thing. So John's right, you know, devote this and get him while you can in the draft for pass rusher. My problem is this. If you can't figure out a way to keep Jordy Nelson when it comes to the dollars, and, of course, they ended up replacing him with three draft picks, you know, in the future, I'm not sure that the Green Bay Packers think that you can take a player and cut their salary by 75% and still think you're going to get the same effort. I think they just think that, Clay, if you can get paid like you think you deserve to get paid, then let's go ahead. We can part ways and somebody will pay you a ridiculous sum of money, just like they did Tremont, and go out and make your money and we'll figure it out. And I'm afraid that the business decision will come to that they will not offer him a fair, low number. Because I just don't think that they think that that's the way to keep around a veteran player.
Is Tremont a guy you'd bring back?
I think so. I think he wants to come back.
I thought he played pretty well.
Yeah.
They asked him to do.
He's kind of in the Mark Lee school of some of these defensive backs can play forever.
Yeah.
He might be one of those guys.
Yeah, no, I'd keep Tremont.
But with Clay Matthews, he did say something interesting. Two things he said interesting last week. He said that His agent is still talking with the Packers.
Yeah, he said they talked before the season got started, and then they got into the season. That was it. So there were some initial talks and feeling out maybe around training camp about, you know, where are you guys at and that type of thing.
How much do you gauge that he wants to stay? Because he had even said, look, there's going to be no tearful goodbyes here. This is a business. You know, I mean, it sounded like he was really resigned to the fact that I didn't think he was going to be back in Green Bay.
Well, the fact is, he's playing for a new team if he stays in Green Bay. It's a whole new ball game with a new head coach coming in. And who knows if his defensive coordinator is going to be there. He'll have to learn a whole new system. So all the positives for staying in Green Bay, he's going to have to learn a new defense probably, just like he will if he goes on the road and gets paid three times as much as what Green Bay is willing to spend on him.
I'm not quite sure that going back to your point, Mike, about if you take a big pay cut, are you going to get the same amount out of a guy? Now, that's the point that you start to question the guy's pride, going through, and a veteran, going through training camp. Younger guys are now making more money than you. You're not playing a position that you originally were. You're going to be playing more middle than you would be on the outside, you would assume. You're a third down specialist in a lot of different cases. You know what I mean? I keep asking myself, would Belichick keep him?
Oh, I think so.
You think?
Sure. I
Belichick would take him after he left.
Same way the Steelers.
But would he keep him?
Kept James Harrison year after year after year. And I'm telling you, Clay's attitude has been perfect all season. It's really been good. I mean, he was in the spotlight, and he was the poster boy for quarterback sacks unfairly those first three games. It was ridiculous. Game-winning sacks, and they take it away from him. And he watered that storm like, how did I get into this? Why am I the poster boy in the spotlight for this? What did I do to this league to be, you know, somewhat picked on in these situations? And he weathered that, and he was consistent. You make the point, though, the one play where you and I watched him chasing down Trubisky, and he couldn't keep up.
He couldn't get him.
I mean, he was just a step and a half behind. And so that's, you know, the stopwatch never lies when it comes to that situation. Tough decision that way, but he's still a smart, instinctive football player who, though, even in some of these games, though, like against the game against the Jets, zero tackles. He's out there running around the field and getting pressure.
Right.
He seems to be in the mix of things, but zero tackles. And after the Lions game, there was one light moment, and that was Clay after he talked at his locker and for 10, 15 minutes answered all the questions. You know, he's a pragmatic guy. Football's in the family with his father, with his uncle, and it's a business, and he loves the business. Okay, he appreciates that and the opportunity, and you know, the position coaches say Clay Matthews sits in the front of the room and knows all the stuff and talks to the other linebackers and helps out younger players, and he's coachable right up to the last minute, you know, open-minded. He's a good guy. He's a good player. He's a little bit of an out there, though. He's the California guy with the long hair, okay? And so I don't know if Clay is necessarily hanging out with the guys all the time, but when he's on the clock, he's a positive presence in that locker room. I think this will probably come down to, we're not bringing back a guy and cutting his paycheck by 60-70% and thinking we're still going to get the same player.
Roger.
And for Clay, it's like, okay, someone will pay me, and I'll make another 4 or 5 years and stack my stats, and hopefully I'll get in the Hall of Fame someday too.
Yeah, Rodgers always said Rodgers was a no-cal guy. Clay Matthews was a so-cal guy.
So-cal
with his hair.
Right.
Whatever. But with the Packers have 3 draft picks in the top 44 this year. And I think you can look at this Alabama-Clemson game and look at the front sevens of both these teams and pick 3 guys who can rush the passer out of those guys.
Yeah, but that new outside linebacker coach is coming in here and saying, Kyler Fackrell is my veteran.
That's why.
Right.
Two outside linebackers. There, last year the draft was
Are you cutting loose Nick Perry?
Well, Nick Perry, that's a hurtful one because he's making $14 million on cap number. If you cut him, you save $3 million.
Right.
You take an $11 million hit.
Ouch.
That's dead money. Like, oh wow.
Oh.
I think you have to keep him. So you let Gilbert go. But last year there were no outside linebackers in the draft. So New Orleans had to trade up to Green Bay, give up a number one pick this year just to get Davenport. This year, you get them. So I think the Packers take 2 of them on days 1 and 2.
Yeah. What do you think that they would owe Clay? What do you think his new deal would be, like a 1 or 2 year extension?
I think they could get him for $6 million with incentives to go up to
his last 10. Deal was worth 32 overall, right?
I don't have that in front of me, but yeah. I think he could teach what you said. If you brought 2 rookies in, he could teach them and be a mentor, and you could use him at middle linebacker.
Right. And good hair technique too, Bill.
And every now and then a cameo in a State Farm commercial.
Yeah.
There you go. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're going to come back. It's time to look at the postseason in the NFL. Bill Michaels, Huddle Broadcasting live down here at the Brat Stop. You want to be a part of the email list. They've been telling you all night long. Go to bratstop.com. That is bratstop.com. We are brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We've got more coming up right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
feel like I really did. Everybody's like, oh, he can't protect. And I feel like I showed that, hey, I can protect, and I did it very well this year. And it's something I look to continue to improve upon.
Welcome back to the program. Those are the words of Aaron Jones, running back for the Green Bay Packers. It's the Bill Michael Settle. We're broadcasting live down here at the Brat Stop. We're in Kenosha. If you want to be a part of their mailing list, go to bratstop.com, bratstop.com. We are brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michael Sports Talk Network. John Dodd alongside from Dodd's on Sports, also Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio. Fire department not showing up. It's just somebody buying another beer.
There you go.
Nothing wrong with that down here. Now we get into the meat and potatoes. That is the postseason. Wild card weekend.
They call it the best weekend of football in the NFL.
For those that don't know, if you have Fox 6 in Milwaukee, I don't know where it is around the rest of the state, but if you have Fox 6 in Milwaukee on Spectrum, it's gone.
No.
What?
It's gone. It has been eliminated. They came to an impasse for money between Spectrum and Tribune, and they have now pulled their station. So now you got to go over the air if you're going to watch Fox.
Oh my gosh!
Yep.
And Dennis Krause's channel is off.
Dennis Krause's channel is now gone. It's a news channel now.
That's a bad decision.
Bad move.
So it is now gone. But the Cowboys game coming up on Saturday night, the late game, which is a 7:15 Central Time, is the game that's on Fox. So if you're a Cowboys fan, you better find a bar to go to, or you better go out and buy a digital antenna.
Yeah.
I'd have to buy like 11 of them for my house for all the TVs we have.
Come to the Broad Stop. They'll have it.
The Broad Stop will have it down here, I'm sure. But nevertheless, no. So don't worry, though, if you're a Bears fan, because that game is on NBC.
Right. And their Sunday night game moves to the 3:40 kick.
Correct.
Central time with the Bears and Eagles. So is the first one you're going to talk about?
The Colts and the Texans.
Colts and the Texans.
At NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas. Beautiful facility.
3:35 start on Saturday afternoon.
Saturday afternoon. Both teams 9-2. They were tied for the best record in the NFL since week 6. The Colts poured it on. The Texans, they poured it on as well. They started off 0-3, and then they reeled off 9 straight.
The Texans did. And Indianapolis, they were 1-5 with Frank Reich, who leaves as offensive coordinator for Doug Peterson. He's got his Super Bowl ring with the Eagles, who 26 years ago today pulled off the miracle for the Buffalo
City
Bills.
Miracle.
Yeah, when he was a quarterback for the Bills in the playoffs. And
That was for the Bills, not for Tennessee. I was thinking Tennessee.
Indianapolis, 1-5, and they turned that thing around. They got really good on defense as well. And Andrew Luck, I mean, who would have thought you could turn that guy around? And for the Houston Texans, a year ago today, J.J. Watt, along with his quarterback, Deshaun Watson, Watson out with the ACL, J.J. with a season-ending injury, and these guys are working out on the side of the field every day. And they kind of made a pact with each other. We're going to put in this work, and it's going to pay off. And sure enough, they come out with that 0-3 start you talk about. And then they get hot here as the second season, played a different level. It was a big game that they had against the Dallas Cowboys. I remember seeing in prime time. So here they are at home now in the playoffs. I think I'm going to take the Texans at home over the Colts, which should be a very entertaining game Saturday afternoon, John.
I'm going to take the Texans also, but the Colts are an example that Green Bay can follow because they had a top 10 pick. They took Nelson, the big offensive guard, totally changed their physicality, their offensive line. And then they took the South Carolina middle linebacker. His name escapes me at this point, but he's one of the leading tacklers in the NFL. Two picks in the top 35, and it totally changed their season around. Oh. So I think the Packers are that close, but I'll take Houston.
The Colts and the Texans played twice this year. The last meeting, the Colts went into Houston and knocked off the Texans. They do not fear NRG Stadium. But I'm going to say that the Texans at home, that place is going to be electric. I think Deshaun Watson's as good as Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck, they're just different style of quarterbacks. The run game of the Texans with Deshaun Watson is going to be more problematic for the Colts than Andrew Luck will be for the Texans defensively. They're going to put a ton of pressure on Andrew Luck. I'm going to take the Texans at home to win that ball game. The other one coming up on Saturday, an interesting contest. This will be the one that if you are a Cowboys fan, you want to go watch it, you better find a place to watch it if you have cable, because it's not going to be on cable because it's on Fox. Seattle and Dallas, they face off. Both teams relying on big rushing attacks and great defensive play. Seahawks come in running the ball better than anybody else in the National Football League. But the Cowboys, since they made the trade and they got some weaponry on the outside, ever since they made that deal with the Oakland Raiders, Dak Prescott's had additional weapons to throw to. Cowboys defensively has been picking up points, been playing much, much better. Just something about this tells me Russell Wilson simply over Dak Prescott. I'm going to take the Seahawks on the road.
Pete Carroll had good news about the Seahawks injury report today, and that's his starting quarterback, Shaquille Griffin, who hadn't practiced all week due to an ankle injury against Arizona, not listed on the injury report, so that means it looks like he's going to be able to play and go out there and cover those Cowboys receivers. And so the only two guys that they've got on their injury report, Trey Madden, the fullback, listed as doubtful with a hamstring injury, and their guard, J.R. Sweeney, questionable, designated with a foot injury. So that means, and then Chris Carson, the running back, just named today NFC Player of the Month for his run game. And, you know, Pete Carroll, man, he has figured out a way how to get this thing to win again, a better running game. And a lot of experts say that Russell Wilson's performance this year highly underrated on just how effective and how much of a weapon he's been running around the field and finding players downfield. Now, I still think, though, that, I mean, that's a tough Dallas defense, and they're going to play the game in Dallas, which is why the odd makers have got the Cowboys up by 2 points in this one. Dak Prescott, now, is he up to the task going up against Pete Carroll and that Seahawks defense, a different defense, and being able to get the job done?
I'm going to take Dallas in this one. I think, as Bill mentioned, that a trade for Amari Cooper, I don't know what
the Raiders were thinking.
I don't know what Chucky Toughness is doing out there in Oakland, but it's not smart.
No.
And we'll see. It's all part of a master plan that will get the Las Vegas Raiders into the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. you know, sometime in our lifetime, I guess. But
yeah.
I'm going to take the Cowboys have been playing much better since that trade. I'm going to take the Cowboys at home.
Taking the Cowboys at home, let's do this. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We got two more games to get to on this wild card weekend. The Chargers on the road taking on the Ravens. And then the Bears. They are hosting the Philadelphia Eagles, the defending champions. Two coaches, Matt Nagy, Doug Peterson, both coming off of Andy Reid's staff. They're familiar with one another. We'll get into that discussion when we come back. The Bill Michaels Huddle broadcasting live down here at the Brat Stop in Kenosha. Go to bratstop.com to get your name on the mailing list for all the events they have coming up down here. Stay tuned. We are brought to you by Bud Light, and we've got more right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Clay's been a great example, a great resource for me to learn from, just his experience, the way he approaches the game, the way that he prepares, you know, and takes care of his body. There's been a lot that I've been able to learn from him, so I've been grateful to have been able to play with him and all the guys at outside. You know, I think we have a really good group.
Kyler Fackrell, the Green Bay Packers, talking about the group that they're looking forward to getting back together next year, and hopefully they can do bigger and better things defensively. They were near the top 15, which is what many Packers fans were hoping for. They just didn't get the same level of play out of the offense that everybody was expecting, and ultimately the demise of the Green Bay Packers season. John Dodds from Dodds on Sports sitting here next to me. Also, we've got Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio. I'm Bill Michaels. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle, broadcasting live down here at the Brat Stop in Kenosha. We are brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. So, guys, we got two more games to get to that are on the docket, and the number one game on Sunday is the Chargers at 12-4, did not win their division. But a 12-win season, something that nobody's talking about, and Phillip Rivers had a tremendous year at an inflatable stadium in front of basically nobody. They're taking on the 10-6 Baltimore Ravens. Ravens at home, still very tough, but they got in by picking off Baker Mayfield in the last seconds of a waning ball game to knock out the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mosley with a brilliant play.
And to put themselves into the postseason.
I mean, Mosley, he, in 1 second, just pre-snap, he knew that Baker Mayfield, where they were going to put their rush. And so he says, if the rush comes in from my left side, that means Baker's going to try and roll to his right. So I'll just take one step over here. The pressure came. Baker looked to his right, didn't see Mosley there, got the hand up, took the pick.
Yep.
Oh, you know, teaching moment for the rookie quarterback out of Cleveland. Outstanding.
And he had a tremendous season, just wasn't enough. And hey, the Cleveland Browns, kudos to them. They ended up with the same record as the Green Bay Packers by the time it was all said and done. There is something to be said for the Chargers, who have not been able to win in the postseason. Now they got to go West Coast to East Coast and be the early game on a Sunday. It just doesn't ever work out that way for whatever reason.
We're at the Broad Stop tonight in Kenosha, and Kenosha Bradford graduate Melvin Gordon from the Badgers back on the practice field today with this ankle injury that's been bothering. So that helps out the Chargers, John.
Chargers are very tough on both sides of the ball. Rivers is having a great year. He's getting better with better players around him, it seems. I think they're going to really jack Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's been running a lot. That can be done in the NFL in small doses, but you don't want your quarterback jacked. And I think they're going to try and jack him. I'll take San Diego here.
The game, Joey Bosa gets to the quarterback, you're going to say? The game is in Baltimore. The odds makers have got the Ravens up by 2.5 points in this one. They're the favorites for this one for the early game on Sunday at 12 noon. I watched that game a couple weeks ago, Chargers and Ravens, and I think the Ravens held on to win 22-10, must win for them to keep their playoff hopes alive. And I know he was the last guy taken in the first round by the Ravens, and the Flacco just, you know, totally falling apart there. So John Harbaugh puts in Lamar, and, you know, it's a spark. He's running with the football 15, 20 times a play. He's a tremendous athlete, great speed. And he can sling it, but he's not a passer. And there's up against the Chargers and Phillip Rivers, and this is part of the strategy too. They had one drive in the third quarter where they ran every play, like 14 plays in a row. It kept Phillip Rivers off the field. And I just like, are you kidding me? This is, you know, because they didn't trust their quarterback. They let him throw a couple of more. I think he had like 200 yards in passing the other day. He's got one where a guy broke free for a 68-yarder. But I can't get over some of these kinds of quarterbacks that, you know, I don't know whether they're Tebow or Michael Vick or some of these other guys that they're these great athletes and they can run. You know, and they can throw the ball, but they're really not NFL quarterback passers. And that's what the job requires. And I just don't see how you have a long-term career. Can they still pull this out of their hat and make it a run game, a college-like football game against the Chargers? I don't know. I think the Chargers, a lot of people pick them in training camp. I think the Chargers pull off the upset and get the win against the Ravens.
Chargers are like, to me, like Tampa Bay. Prove it to me.
Yeah.
They've had a tremendous season, and every time they get me to the door, I go, okay, I'm in, you know. And then sure as stuff stinks, they let me down. So I got to go Ravens just until the Chargers actually get a win in the postseason
for
me.
Okay, I'm good with that.
So I'm
going
to go in that direction. Then you've got to Sunday afternoon. The Eagles on the road taking on the Chicago Bears. Defending champion Eagles head of Chicago taking on the NFL's number one scoring defense. They're averaging 17.7 points given up per game. That's it, the Bears are. They are a tremendous defense. They're not the Bears of 85. This whole comparison to the 85 Bears, it's not. But I'll say this. You've got Matt Nagy and Doug Peterson, two guys that worked on Andy Reid's staff. They know each other very well. The one thing keeps
Going up against each other.
The one thing that keeps resonating with me is something, Mike, when we were heading down to Soldier Field, you, me, and Gary Ellerson, and Gary Ellerson says, you just line up if you're Matt Nagy and beat the hell out of the team across from you.
Mm-hmm.
If you try to outthink yourself and be the smartest guy in the room, you're going to lose this game.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing applies right here, I think.
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you, the Eagles, they're the healthiest they've been all year. They got Sproles back. They've looked really good. They've looked like last year's Eagles the last two or three weeks. I think this is going to be the best game of the weekend. Interesting that there's three former Eagles that have helped the Bears win this year. That tight end, Trey Burton, Chase Daniel, he won a game on Thanksgiving against the Lions. But the real question mark that the Bears fans have is Cody Parkey, the field goal kicker. I mean, he's hit the uprights more often than, you know, he might have set a record. So they're real nervous. This is a close game. Can Parkey, you know, convert on a critical field goal in this game against the Eagles?
I think if Foles is okay and he can play.
Yeah, he's got a rib injury.
The Bears might be in big trouble.
That's a big setback for the Eagles if, in fact, Nick Foles has got to throw the football, and he's a deep passer. That's his deal.
Yeah.
He's got so much confidence with Alshon Jeffrey down the sideline. He can throw the deep ball, but that's a real setback for the Eagles. And I'll tell you what, because of that, I guess I'll take the Bears at home against the Eagles.
Bears are going to come after him big time. Until he proves that he can throw the football and burn them, they're going to try to beat the hell out of him.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him.
Yeah.
He had 25. Foles had 25 consecutive passes to start the game to tie an NFL record last week.
Yeah, it came up
and they were all short. And that's how you play the Bears. Spread it out short, get it out. If the Bears can't turn you over or pressure you, I say advantage Philadelphia. If he can play, I'll take Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Bears. And it pains me to say it, but I think Trubisky has come of age to the point where he's not going to do a lot of stupid things. They've finally taken a little bit of the leashes off of him. He can throw the football. But the bottom line is they got a defense that he doesn't have to worry about making a mistake. He's got a defense that can take the ball back. We've seen it all season long. Like I said, they're going to come after Nick Foles and just try to beat the hell out of him until he proves he can burn them. And if he does, hey, then they're going to back off.
And which team pulls off the first trick play? That'll be interesting.
Matt Nagy does, without a doubt. Yeah. Matt Nagy does. Yeah. But Doug Peterson will go for it on fourth down.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about it. Guys, great stuff as always, man. This 2 hours flew past.
It did. Well, it was a great crowd here, too.
So good crowd, good place. Always love coming down to the historic Broad Stop. If you want to be a part of their – oh, it's enormous. It's awesome. If you want to be a part of the email list down here, go to broadstop.com. We are brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Time for us to go. Have a great night.
Sure.
Michael's Sports Talk Network.